Hello there, and welcome to the Cinema Cafe podcast, the film podcast by the fans for the fans. This is episode 97, and my name is Joshua Liu, and I'd like to thank everyone for joining us. As we review new movie releases, talk some film news, and share our general love for all things cinema, there's a lot of love to go around, and we want to share. Now, if you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to review the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com, where the weekly Fantastic Short Film Friday is still going on and strong. So that is correct. You are not mishearing it. I am flying solo today. Penny is indisposed, and you know,
I'm cooking.
She is cooking, so you hear her in the background. But I'm going to, you know, push on or push forward, as they say, and bring you the film content and the film reviews that you want. I saw a bunch of films. Sadly, only one new one, and not a particularly good new one. And no, it's not The Master. I did not get to see that yet. But, you know, I do have a bunch of film reviews to get to. And since I am flying solo, there's no real film news to talk about, no real movie talk back to talk about. So I'm just going to really dive into the films. Nothing's new with me, just really, really busy with work. And I always find that one of the great things to do, you know, a lot of people have their wine. A lot of people have their, you know, nice, I don't know, glass of whiskey or whatnot. For me, the greatest way to unwind is a film, and I always enjoy that. So I did get to watch a bunch because of the stress. And let's start right into it. I'm going to start off with a few movie reviews before we get onto our feature film review. Now, the first movie review I want to talk about is a little film called Extraterrestrials. Now, this is a 2011 Spanish sci-fi romantic comedy, and it's directed by Nacho Vigalondo of Time Crimes fame, and it's a story of a man and woman who find themselves falling in love in the midst of an alien invasion. Now, the problem is that the woman has a boyfriend who is slowly going insane. Now, this is Nacho's highly anticipated sophomore effort, the follow-up to Time Crimes, a movie which is universally loved, but one that I thought was only okay. Time Crimes was wonderfully executed with interesting themes, but I felt the pacing was a little off, making something that could have been exceptional only great. Now, Nacho's sophomore effort is a hard one to categorize. It's true that there are UFOs and extraterrestrials, but the movie is barely sci-fi, as we only ever really see one ship from a distance, and there's no real threat from the aliens. In fact, the aliens are barely ever mentioned, as the invasion is just an excuse for a romantic comedy. Now, it's because of that, this film is so divisive. Personally, I love me some rom-coms, and this one, while being incredibly languidly paced, has some refreshing and funny moments. The leads are wonderful, even if they seem to act irrationally and out of character at times, and the ending is a bit ambiguous. But I think Nacho did a fantastic job in his second feature film, one that really shows that he's one of the brightest stars in the international film scene, and especially the sci-fi genre scene. Just don't go into this film expecting a sci-fi adventure romp. This one is a lo-fi to the max, but because of the funny dialogue and banter between the leads and the wonderful chemistry of it all, I give this one a definite rental. You could do a lot worse than this smart sci-fi rom-com. And like with Time Crimes, Extraterrestrials on DVD is packed with a lot of Nacho Vigalondo's short films that he did before he did Time Crimes, before he became a feature-length film director. And, you know, while they are low-budget, and while they are, quite as professional as his other two films, they are, you could see the ideas, the fruits of the labor that are going to come to fruition in his two films, and they are really interesting. So you can definitely check those out on DVD as well. And that's why I always like his films are released, because he evidently did a buttload of short films, so that's always fun. The next film I want to talk about is a film called Take Me Home. Now, this is a 2011 American independent romantic road comedy, and it's directed by Sam Yeager, who plays a down-on-his-luck New York cab driver looking for his purpose in his life, who meets a young woman, played by Amber Yeager, who wants him to take her to California to see her estranged father. Now, there are some movies that you know absolutely nothing about, where you go in with no expectations, finding them in the instant watch recommends on Netflix and clicking on it, and then having your whole world blown away. Take Me Home is such a film. This is one of the smartest and most earnest romantic comedies I've seen in a long time. Part rom-com, part road movie. The characters in this film are incredibly realistic. As, like ordinary humans, they start off portrayed one way, but have multiple layers that unfold as you spend the 90 minutes with them. It's an original film that feels refreshingly heartfelt, a true triumph of independent cinema. Everything hinges on our two leads, who spend about 70% of the film alone, and their chemistry, their honest discussions and arguments. Yeah, I'm in love with this film, but being how I am, an obsessive film fan who tries to consume as much as possible, it's extremely rare that a film comes out that I have never heard of. I try to keep abreast of all the new films that are coming out, even the smallest of films, even the most, you know, foreign of films. But perhaps it's because this was a small film that played at and won awards at some small film festivals that I didn't get to hear. But I'm glad I had the opportunity to watch this little gem, one of the best films I've seen all year. One that feels so incredibly fresh and personal, I give this one a DVD buy. Although if you have Netflix, you can watch it now on Instant Watch. Again, I'm singing the praises as many people do. I'm one of the few people that still retain their DVD and Instant Watch. A lot of people just watch Instant Watch on Netflix, and you can't blame them because they have some gems. Again, thank God for Instant Watch, and thanks for Netflix for recommending me this gem of a film. I got two more movies I want to quickly get through. The next one is called Rebound. Again, I saw a lot of romantic movies, romantic comedies. This 2009 romantic dramedy is directed by Bart Frudlich and stars Catherine Zeta-Jones as a newly single mother looking for her place in the world and who finds comfort in the arms of a younger man, Justin Bartha, who is 15 years he's 15 years younger than she is, and all the trials they face due to their age difference. This 2009 film was set to come out in 2002, but was shelved until it got directed to DVD release this year. So that's like 3 years after the film was finished and put in the can, and 2 years after it was supposed to be released. And it's a shame too, because while not amazing, The Rebound is actually a very adult and smart look at a mismatched couple, a couple whose worldviews are incredibly similar, but whose life experiences get in the way of their hearts. This is not a basketball movie. This is not the movie with Common and Queen Latifah. I'm not a fan of Catherine Zeta-Jones, but she's pretty fantastic here as the older woman, a mother, no longer a sex symbol, and I think it really works for her as an actress. And Justin Bartha, as the younger male lead, acts and feels like a 25-year-old. I think the reason why this film stands above other indie rom-coms or dramedies, even though its plot is overly cliched at times, is because it feels right. The characters act and feel real with all their flaws. A big surprise of a watch that will leave you smiling at the end, especially towards the end. There's an amazing 5-minute montage of the characters experiencing life that felt both whimsical and uplifting. I give this one a DVD watch. You can rent it, or again, watch it instantly on Netflix. Damn, that has granted, there's a lot of little films that Netflix Instant Watch has as opposed to the bigger ones, but there are some gems out there. Now, the last film I want to talk about before we get to our feature-length film review, and that one is not going to be all that pleasant, but this one is a little film called Under the Boardwalk, The Monopoly Story. Now, this is a 2010 documentary, and it basically shows how the classic board game, I guess it's almost 100 years old, has become a worldwide cultural phenomenon, and follows a group of players who come together to compete for the coveted title of Monopoly World Champion, because, you know, as one thing I've learned in this film, one of the great things in life is becoming the Monopoly World Champion. Now, I'm a huge lover of the game of Monopoly. I just love the wheeling and dealing, outwitting your opponents as you trade to get better deals and come out on top. It's conquest in the lowest form. However, all this documentary did was make me sad. These are bright, socially competent people who spend hours and days practicing the game of Monopoly in the hopes to win a game where a lot of it is based on chance and luck. This is their Super Bowl. This is their sporting event. They even talk about it like it's a sporting event, and it's kind of odd. Sure, there's skill involved, as I have, quite frankly, never lost in the game, but it's really a game of luck. And here, these men keep talking about how some players cheat, and how this is what they've been waiting for their whole lives from, and again, it just made me sad. It would have been better if they focused more on the history of the game and how it came into creation, how it came into fruition, which it did, but didn't really delve deeper as I was hoping, rather than focusing on the players and the championship. Now, to be fair, everyone deserves to feel happy and special with doing something they love. But to the fact that this is life and death, a story of hopes and dreams shattered, of pettiness and awkwardness, that's what, again, made it all a bit sad. Still beyond that, though, this was a well-made documentary, a well-crafted documentary that sheds light on a very little-known world, the world of high-stakes board gaming. So I give this one a DVD rental, or again, catch it on Netflix. Instant watch. They have some fantastic documentaries, so you can definitely check it out. And if you like board games, I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone out there has played Monopoly sometime in their lives. This might interest you just to see what goes on behind the scenes. With that out of the way, let's get into our feature-length film review. I only have one movie review for you this week, and it's not Lawless, like I said it was going to be last week. It's a film that Penny went to a birthday party. So instead of forcing her to go to this movie with me, which I know she didn't, I bit the bullet, trudged on like a true hero, a true fan of, you know, a true creator for this podcast, and saw the movie Resident Evil Retribution.
Come on, babe, rise and shine.
Let's get that beautiful ass out of bed.
You want cereal?
What's a tiger?
Please get a room.
Sorry.
Go!
None of this is real. None of this is real.
All these memories were imprinted.
My name is Alice.
Alice, how nice to see you again.
What the hell is going on here?
We have you under all control.
They used me to perfect the virus. Everyone I've ever known. Everything I've ever done is being used against me.
All right, now this 2012 sci-fi horror action film is directed by Paul Widescreen Anderson, not to be confused by Paul Thomas Anderson, and
one who made The Master.
Yes, look who's back. Penny has decided to join me, and is
the tomato sauce is working its magic right now.
And it's the fifth film in the video game adapted film franchise. Now Mila Jovovich, my love, is back as is back as Alice, who finds herself captured by the Umbrella Corporation and must battle her way out while meeting multiple clones of friends and foes from the previous four films. It's getting closer to the end, an ending that no one wants to see. Now this is this brings back all the characters from the previous films: the hot Asian chick, the Leon, the white guy,
Michelle Rodriguez,
the buff black guy, Michelle Rodriguez. The guy from Mummy Returns.
Wow, gems!
Like
gems.
All these people's names I don't know.
Allie Larder.
Allie Larder is actually not in this film.
What? All right,
and
forget it.
Sienna Gilroy is in it. But yeah. Now I got. All right. Now I gotta say she played. I gotta say that now.
Who's the Asian chick?
She's some Japanese. She's a Chinese. Her name is Lee Bing Bing.
Oh.
You know Lee Bing Bing.
Yeah, she's actually
hot.
Famous in, like, Asia.
Yeah, she's actually real famous in Asia. She's hot. But anyway, now I know a lot of people have watched trailers out there. I love watching trailers. And I have to say, regardless of how crappy this movie is or isn't, the trailer is incredibly misleading. Now, I talked about this to you, Penny, after when I met up with you.
Oh, right, you told me.
Now,
because I have no desire to see this.
Yeah, now
ever.
Showing it shows Alice as waking from a dream, as a suburban housewife who has to escape from the evil clutches of the Matrix clone villain Wesker, which, quote unquote, spoiler here, but not really a spoiler because you find out right away, is totally opposite of what the film is about. The person in the suburbs dream isn't Alice, and Wesker is the person trying to help Alice escape and bring down Umbrella. Misleading marketing campaigns. When Wesker in the trailer has a fantastic line,
have they no ethics?
When Alice, Mila Jovovich's character, goes, "I'm going to kill you," Wesker goes, "Good luck." In a fantastic line, she is actually saying that to somebody else, and Wesker's saying, "Good luck for escaping this place." So it's incredibly misleading. It's a totally different story than the actual trailer.
Why do people want him to be the bad guy?
Because he was the bad guy in the last film.
I guess. But you find out fairly quickly that he's not the bad guy. It's not like a twist that you find out at the end.
You find out the first 15 minutes.
That's the beginning, Joshua. That is called
Woodlock.
The beginning.
But yeah, so here we have an unnecessary sequel, a fourth sequel, in a film franchise that I never thought would ever get 5 total films. It has
10 more, you're saying, which I... Please make it stop. It's because people like you that they keep making it for.
Oh, yeah.
Which is...
I'll watch Crap.
Stop.
The last movie was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I watched this one right away, opening weekend. There's decent action, nice horror, and actually really good special effects. The movie basically screams, this is action. If I had to sum up this movie in 3 words, it would be fun, but boring. The 3D is pretty mediocre. I'm going to make this review short and sweet because this movie doesn't deserve a full review. You know...
But this is your full review
yeah,
one.
Yeah, basically. You know if you're going to see it or not. There's nobody who's hey, there's this,
no one's
what's
teetering.
This fifth Resident Evil movie? I gotta see it, even though I haven't seen the other 4. There's a 5-minute recap of the first 4 movies, which is pretty funny. Now, while I do find it necessary to bring in new viewers, I wish they did it differently than setting it up like a TV show, almost going as far as saying previously in Resident Evil.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a little weird with a voiceover by Alice. Now, with that said, the movie actually makes very little sense unless you play the Resident Evil video games and understand all the relationships between the characters, because they just throw you in everything together. Like, you must have seen all the movies and played the video games to understand what's going on. And I gotta say, like, I know this isn't a big shock to anybody. There's awful acting all around. Especially from...
No.
The amazingly beautiful Sienna Guillory as Jill Valentine, who was in, I believe, the 2nd or 3rd movie, who's ridiculously hot, but can't act her way out of a coffin. She's so stiff. And it's pretty bad because if anybody has seen the previous film, this is a slight spoiler, she is the villain now. Or rather, one of the villains, since she was captured by the Umbrella Corporation and brainwashed. There should be one more movie in this film franchise. A franchise that, again, I can't believe got a second movie, let alone 5 total movies. The first movie is actually a really good horror movie, as it steals elements from the fantastic independent horror movie Cube. But the rest are just mediocre action films, and it's like the classic action movie. Each one has been progressively worse.
Great.
Although this one isn't as bad as the last one, the 4th film. But
how can you rank them when there's just so many at this point?
It's easy. It's 1, 2, 3, 5, 4. There you go. Not that hard. If you want to throw in the direct-to-animated film, then it's 1, 2, animated, 3, 5, 4. See? I watch a lot of... Man, I've really watched a lot of garbage Resident Evil movies.
You need help.
So, basically, rating-wise, I give this a catch it if it's on cable. I don't think you should even watch it on the airplane because it needs to be on a bigger screen. Because all it is just special effects.
I didn't see this movie, but I'm going to say I want my money back sneak out rating.
Yeah, you probably give it that. The visuals are amazing to look at. Beautiful, in fact. And the action scenes are right out of like a John Woo, Hong Kong ripoff. But after a while, they are incredibly numbing because this film is like 92, 93 minutes, and it is relentless in the sense that it's 92 minutes of action.
Oh, really?
That's all it is. So after a while,
after
a while, it becomes mind-numbing. You're like, ugh, more special effects, more,
more violence.
More communist zombies, which I actually really liked.
Interesting.
Or not communist, socialist zombies, I apologize. They were Russian. So,
they can be communist.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on the time period. I couldn't tell. So anyway, that is my fantastic review of Resident Evil Retribution. Check it out at your own peril. With out of the way, oh man, I really should have saw The Master. The reason why I didn't see The Master is because it was playing at one theater all the way in the city.
And so I wanted to see it too.
Yeah, I should have saw it without you.
Oh, thanks.
All right, with out of the way, let's move right on to the end of this week's show. Man, this may be the shortest one to date. See, it's because you take up so much airtime.
Oh, really? Me?
Yeah, I think that's why.
When I come unprepared.
We would like to thank everyone for joining us for another episode of the Cinema Cafe podcast. Now, before we get to which movies we're reviewing for the next show, here are the upcoming new movie releases for the next 2 weeks, starting with September 21st. A cult classic, so good it's bad, comic book movie gets a much-needed reboot in Dread 3D. That movie looks amazing. A gritty shot movie like Cops style movie starring Jake Gyllenhaal comes out in End of Watch. Jennifer Lawrence scratches that horror itch in House at the End of the Street, or the fantastic hashtag Hates. I actually like that a lot.
I brought it up.
Yeah,
Hates.
It's actually pretty good. A young adult book gets the movie treatment in Perks of Being a Wallflower. Yikes. The only reason I want to see is because the beautiful Emma Watson. And lastly, a documentary about a fashion icon and editor comes out. I don't know. I've never heard of this person. In Diana Vreeland, I think is her name.
Yeah.
You've heard of her?
Yeah.
I don't know. Vogue? I don't know.
I don't know.
The full name is Diana Vreeland. The Eye Has to Travel. I don't know. Now for the movie releases on September 28th, director Rian Johnson returns with his movie about time travel, Joseph Gordon-Levitt turning into Bruce Willis. In Looper, the new CGI animated movie from Sony Pictures. This time, it's a monster mash in Hotel Transylvania. The movie about teachers and mothers wanting to help inner city kids, starring Maggie Gyllenhaal, which Penny wants to see, and Viola Davis, in Won't Back Down. Clint Eastwood returns to acting as a baseball scout in Trouble with the Curb, which I have to say, I heard nothing about until a week ago.
Yeah.
Now I've seen a million trailers for it already. That's how much has been going. And lastly, a documentary about the ability to overcome the political and social divides of Eastern Europe through the 1992 Olympics in The Other Dream Team. So, Penny, any you're interested in?
Definitely
Looper.
Looper, for sure.
I really want to see Dread 3D. That's going to be amazing. I know you want to see Won't Back Down, even though I want to.
Yeah, but I probably won't see it because you don't want to see
I'm actually really excited to see Hotel Transylvania, which I've told you about many times.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I didn't know what to think of Trouble with the Curve, but I keep seeing the trailers, and I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'm getting kind of sold. It's a baseball movie with Amy Adams and Clint Eastwood.
I love Clint Eastwood, but I don't know.
And End of Watch, I think I will eventually see, but it doesn't grab me where I want to go see it in the theater.
It seems really intense.
Yeah, it seems like so intense, like you're going to be on the edge of your seat
and
nail-biting the entire
time. And I feel
like
I might throw up, too, if it's a shaky cam.
It is going to be shaky cam. So, yeah, that movie's going to be intense, but I am really interested in seeing it. Now, if you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to review the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com. Again, Penny, or not again, but thank you, Penny, for joining me for the second half of this episode. My name is Joshua Liu.
This is Penny Lamb.
Have a great week. I think I feel like it's getting exciting again for movie season. I felt like we're in a bit of a lull after the somewhat abysmal summer release that we've been having. But yeah, I'm getting excited again. So get out there and watch some movies.